May God bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, as we're about to look into your word this morning and continue with this series on spiritual warfare, we pray that you would open our minds and our hearts. Lord, help us to be attentive. Help us to take this topic very seriously as it has eternal implications. Have your perfect way, Lord, as your word goes forth. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, last week, as we did continue with our series on spiritual warfare, we learned a few things about our enemy, the devil. First of all, we learned about Satan's personality. And what we learned was, in the beginning, he wasn't yet the devil. In fact, Satan was a beautiful angel whose name was Lucifer. And Lucifer means shining one or the morning star. But because of the sin of pride, not only did he rebel against God and try to put his place above that of God, we're told in the scriptures that several, like a lot, maybe up to one third of the angels in heaven rebelled with Satan against God. And because of that rebellion, they were all cast out of heaven. And it was at that time Lucifer the angel became Satan the devil. And all of those rebel angels that rebelled with him became his army of demons. Now, the second thing we discussed last week, in addition to Satan's personality, we discussed his position. The Bible describes Satan as the prince of this world, as the ruler of this corrupt world system, and finally, as the God, with a little g, as the God of this age. So all of the sin, all of the wickedness, all of the evil things that are going on in this world, the devil is the cause of every bit of that. Now, we also learned about Satan's power last week, and what we found out that while Satan is a powerful enemy, he is no match for God. He is also a defeated enemy. By Jesus Christ's finished work on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, Jesus conquered the power of death and of sin. He conquered the power of Satan. So Satan is a mighty foe, but he is a conquered foe. Now, the final thing that we talked about last week was Satan's purposes. We learned that our enemy, the devil, is a deceiver, a divider, and a destroyer. He wants to deceive the world, and he's doing a pretty good job of that, in case you haven't noticed. He wants to divide believers apart from each other. He wants nothing more than to come into a Bible teaching, Bible preaching church and stir up trouble and divide people. And finally, his ultimate goal is to destroy the work of God. And folks, that is why it is so important for us to study the Bible, not just read it, study the Bible, submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and as Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And that brings us to the title of our message for today, which is The Belt of Truth. Our text for today will be Ephesians 6:14, just the one verse. Over the next few weeks as we study these pieces of armor, what we're going to find out is that there are actually a total of six pieces of armor that we're to put on. Five of them are defensive in nature, and one of them is offensive, and that's going to be the sword of the Spirit, which we'll talk about later. Now, all six of these pieces of armor, they're necessary. The Bible doesn't say, well, hey, look, here's the six pieces of armor. You guys just pick two or three that you like and go out there and you'll be okay. Here's the way the devil works. If you don't put on the whole armor of God, as Paul tells us, there will be parts of your life that are unprotected. There will be parts of your life that are vulnerable to Satan's attacks, and that is exactly where he's going to hit you. Now, one interesting thing that I want to point out as you're studying these pieces of armor, you'll notice you get your belt of truth, you get your breastplate of righteousness, your helmet of salvation, you got the shield of faith. You know what you don't have? No armor for your back. See, no deserters allowed in God's army. We have got to face our enemy head on. We meet him on the battlefield, and we fight him head on. We don't run away. You run away, you're going to get shot in the back. You have no armor on your back. We've got to stand firm. Now, as we look at this armor that's listed in Ephesians 6, it becomes apparent, if you're paying attention, that this armor that we're putting on is actually nothing less than the Lord Jesus Christ himself that we are to put on. And the first item that we're told to put on is the belt of truth. Now, the King James Version says it like this: stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. But another way of saying the same thing that makes more sense to us the way we talk nowadays is stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Now, to Paul's audience, it's going to seem a little strange that he starts off, the first piece of armor he's mentioning is this girdle, this belt or waistband. This thing was actually about 6 inches wide. It was usually made of leather or linen, by the way. It seems strange because the soldier really didn't consider that a piece of his armor, number one. And second, it wasn't just soldiers that wore these big belts. It was pretty much everybody. Because the dress of the day, the way people clothed themselves back in those days, they'd wear these long flowing robes, and they would put this big wide belt kind of in the middle of it. Now, the first thing that we want to consider here is the purpose of the belt. Now, there's actually three purposes for the belt, and I think once we find out what those are, we'll have a little bit of understanding about why it's so important to put this belt on. First of all, we see that this belt was important in those days for advancing. Now, what I mean by that is, if you needed to get somewhere in a hurry, well, you can't run in some big, long robe. So what you would do is you'd scoop this robe up and you would tuck it in around this belt. That way you wouldn't be hindered when you're trying to move fast, when you're trying to get going. Now, not only would soldiers do this, but so would people. And that ties in right along with what we're told in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, which says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, not only was this belt important for advancing, friends, it was important for attacking. These guys didn't have big backpacks to carry their gear in those days. Everything, all the weapons attached to the belt. For the swordsman, the sword was attached to the belt. Matter of fact, I did some research, and sometimes when a Roman soldier was going into battle, he actually put his belt, this leather belt or girdle, around his shoulder, and he would wear his sword right here so he could quickly get access to it in the middle of a fight. So for the swordsman, the sword goes on the belt. For the archer, the quiver goes on the belt. All your weapons attached to this belt. Now, Paul calls this the belt of truth, which we're going to see the foundation for everything that we do as Christians has to be built on the truth of God's word. But I don't want to get ahead of myself here. Not only is this belt important for advancing and for attacking, it was also important for awarding. Many of you guys have seen a military award ceremony. Sometimes they show those on TV, especially when somebody's being awarded the Medal of Honor. And we'll see this ribbon put around a man's neck, or we'll see medals pinned to his chest. Well, in those days, all of the medals, all of the meritorious awards that this guy would get, they would go on this belt. That's how you could identify the soldier who was battle-tested and battle-proven. He would have medals or awards on this belt. If you saw that, you knew, hey, this is one serious individual, and I don't want to get on the wrong side of him. So, folks, the purpose of the belt is it was important for advancing, for attacking, and for awarding. Now, the second thing we want to look at, the second point we want to consider is the power of the belt. Now, this is where we really have to be paying attention to what Paul is preaching. He says that this belt that we wear around our waist is truth. That's the very first piece of armor we put on. And like I just said a second ago, the very foundation of our armor is the truth. See, as Christians, we have to insist. We have to insist on the truth of God's word. Truth is not about our personal perspectives, our personal perceptions or opinions. Let me tell you what I mean. Right now, a majority of us can take a vote. Hey, we're going to vote to suspend gravity tomorrow. You know how much of an effect that's going to have on gravity? None. Because your opinion, your perception, it doesn't make any difference when it comes to the truth. See, the truth is the truth, whether you want to believe it or not. Because this is America, and we embrace the ideals of democracy, sometimes I think we're under the illusion that we also get to vote on what is true or not true. Well, we don't get to vote on that. This universe is not a democracy, and truth, friends, is not a ballot measure. This is exactly what is being lost in our culture today. The fact that truth is not affected by your emotions or your opinions. See, today there is no absolute truth among people. Everybody's got their own relative truth. And here's the philosophy. Well, you know, that's true for you. And your truth may not be my truth. But everybody's truth is equally valuable and equally true, right? Wrong. Absolutely not. Friend, truth is truth. And there are people today that say, well, you Christians, you read that Bible and you believe that's true. And because you think you know the truth, doesn't that make you arrogant? No, quite the opposite is true. Believing the Bible doesn't make you arrogant. Arrogance is when we try to tailor the truth to suit our own preferences. I remember one time I was talking to somebody. They asked me a question regarding punishment from God and how he disciplines people. I gave them a biblical answer straight from the Bible. And you know what they said? Oh, well, I don't believe that. My God, the God I believe in, he would never send somebody to hell. I said, yeah, you're right. Your God wouldn't. You know why? Because your God doesn't exist. And the reason he doesn't exist is you don't have the right to create some God on your own and then make him do what you want him to do. Friends, that's not the way it works at all. Now, since the Bible tells us the truth about God, about eternal life, and about the world, why would you, if you're a Christian, ever try to look somewhere else for the truth that you already have? Now look, if you're not a Christian and you don't believe what the Word of God says is true, then search on for that truth, my friend. But if you are a Christian and you do believe the Bible is true, why would you waste your time looking for truth somewhere else that ain't going to be true when you find it? What Paul is teaching us here is that in order for us to do battle with our enemy, we've got to know the truth. We've got to know the truth about God. We have to know the truth about his son. We've got to know the truth that is contained only in the Bible. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the truth. So when we arm ourselves with him, we're going to be ready to face the lies and the deceit of the enemy. Do you know why I love to teach the Word of God? Now, there are many reasons. But one of the main reasons I love to teach the Word of God is because I've come to understand that what people need is the truth. You don't need to come in here on Sunday morning and hear some motivational speech about positive thinking. What you need is truth from the Word of God. And we have never needed the truth more than we need it right now. And I don't think the truth has ever been as scarce as it is right now. And because of that, we got a lot of folks that are falling prey to the deceptions that are coming into the Christian church. See, we live in a time when evil is running rampant in our society. It has gotten to the point where I think some of us, I know I do, I wake up every morning and I wonder, Lord, what's going to happen next? What craziness that I can't even believe is going to happen next? And there seems to be very little in the way of discernment nowadays. Because, once again, Do you know how you can determine when something isn't right? It's by making yourself so familiar that with what is right is that when something fake or phony comes at you, you can recognize that when you measure it against the truth. Think about this. When Satan was approached, pardon me, when Jesus was approached by Satan in the wilderness and Satan tried to tempt him, he would bring his temptation to Jesus. And do you remember what Jesus did? He answered back with the truth, right? He said, "It is written." And then he would quote a verse that totally blew that temptation out of the water. Jesus answered with the truth contained in the Word of God. That's why God gave us the Bible, friends, so that we would have his truth. And I want to tell you something, and I hope you realize this. Regardless of what people say about the Bible being some outdated book with old-fashioned values that no longer pertains to today, let me tell you this. In between the covers of this book is everything God wants you to know. Everything God wants you to know about him, everything that God wants you to know about eternity, everything he wants you to know about how to live your life right here and now is contained right here. And if you study this book, instead of just reading one verse at random, maybe once a month, you pick something and read it, and then, oh, what does that mean to me? If you actually study the Word of God, you're going to become familiar with the truth that God wants you to have. You're going to be more prepared to go into battle and come out victorious. But see, there's another part of this putting on the belt of truth that is often overlooked. It's not just about the truth of God's Word. It's also about the truth that is in us, or the truthfulness that is in us. See, another way to render Ephesians 6:14 would be this. Take therefore unto yourself the belt of truthfulness. See, real truth is not relative, it's absolute, but truthfulness is whether or not the truth that we have about God has caused us to be truthful. Is there truth in you, or is there hypocrisy in you? Are you really living a Christian life, or are you just going through the motions? The Bible says that if you want to be a warrior against Satan, you have to have integrity. You got to be who you claim to be. You can't just be a Christian on Sunday and live like a pagan the rest of the week. If you are a person of integrity, of character and honor, and sincerity, you can go into battle with the power of God in your life. You can take the absolute truth that God has given you, and you can wield a sword for the Lord and be effective for him. Now, we're going to see exactly what that means about the sword in the upcoming weeks. But right now, let me share this with you about truthfulness. In 3 John, the small epistle of 3 John, it's just one short chapter. In verse 4, John writes, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth." Now, John doesn't say, "I have no greater joy than to know or to hear that my children know the truth." He says he's got no greater joy than to hear his children walk in the truth, that they're living it out. They're living out the truth contained in the Word of God. See, when we do battle with Satan, there can't be any pretenders. We've got to be living a life of truthfulness. When you go into battle against Satan, hey, you can't be standing there with your Bible in one hand knowing that there is something really deeply wrong in your life that you have failed to deal with, and then still expect God to use you in a powerful way. I recently heard a sermon by Dr. David Jeremiah, and he said, you know, by the time I was 5, I learned to speak a foreign language. I learned the language called Christianese. He said, "Do you know how to talk Christian?" I mean, hey, I could talk Christian. I knew all the these and the vows and all the right words to say. And he said, "You know, we're good at that in the church, aren't we? We get together and, man, we just talk Christian. We're in church on Sunday and we really want to act holy. We talk Christian to each other. And we're good at talking Christian." The problem is, if we're not very careful, that's all we do. We talk Christian, But we don't walk Christian. And you see, when this verse tells us to put on the belt of truth, it's not just referring to the truth of God's word. It's referring to the truthfulness and integrity in your life. That's how you're victorious in battle. As I said just a minute ago, when you do battle with the devil, there can't be any pretenders, folks. When you do battle with him, it's a reality check. And the reality of a true Christian life is one of the greatest assets that you can have as a warrior. Jesus clearly illustrated this in his own life. The Gospels tell us that on many occasions, the religious leaders tried to argue with him. They tried to put him down. On one such occasion, they accused Jesus of actually being possessed by a demon. Jesus said to them, "Which one of you can convict me of any sin?" And you know what they said? Nothing. As much as they hated him, they couldn't really accuse Jesus of any wrongdoing, not truthfully, because he was exactly who he said he was. He was exactly who he claimed to be. When Jesus went to the cross, one of those centurions that helped nail him up there, when he saw how Jesus died, remember what he said? "Truly, this was the Son of God." How did he know that? Because he watched Jesus. He saw the reality of who Jesus really was. One of the thieves that hung on one side of him, remember what he said? "Hey, we deserve what we're getting, but this man has done no wrong." Well, how did he know that? Because he saw the reality that Jesus was exactly who he claimed to be. You know, 6 different times in his epistles, Paul speaks about the power of the conscience. He talks about having a pure conscience or a good conscience, but he also tells us that our conscience can be defiled, or that it can be seared as with a hot iron. You know what that means? It means that because of your sin, your conscience can be so deadened, so desensitized, that the things that used to bother you, they won't even bother you anymore. See, victory against the enemy demands not only that we just know the truth, it demands that we live the truth. See, sometimes we think we can hide our sin from God, or that when we mess up, we can make up for that by doing a whole bunch of good stuff real quick, and then God will forget about the bad thing that we did. God doesn't operate like that. King David knew that. You know how King David prayed? He didn't pray, "Well, Lord, I hope my sin doesn't find me out." Look what he said in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. He said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." Why did David pray this prayer? Because he realized that if he had sin in his life, he would be unfit for the responsibilities that had been placed on his shoulders. He wanted God to shine that light of holiness on his life and reveal to him anything that he needed to deal with and get right with God about. And he wanted to do that because more than anything else, he wanted God to use him to the fullest extent of his usefulness. See, rather than trying to cover up stuff, we ought to be opening up to God. We ought to be opening up and saying, "God, examine me. And tell me where I need to make changes. Tell me where I need to get right with you." Now, Paul tells us here, the first piece of armor that we're to put on before we go into battle is the belt of truth. And let me tell you something else about armor. You don't put it on after you're already in the battle. You put it on before you go into battle. You can't be out there on the battlefield with bullets and mortars going off all around you, and then you're still trying to get your armor on. You better make doggone sure you're armored up and you're well armed before you ever set foot on that battlefield. Now, somebody may say, "Well, you know, Pastor, these last couple messages, they've really been interesting, and I've learned a lot about what the Bible says, but this really doesn't pertain to me because I'm not in a war. Well, good for you. Friend, if you're not in a war, I can assure you the time is coming when you will be in one. And when that battle comes, you better be ready. And in order to be ready, you got to do what every soldier does to get ready. You got to go through boot camp. You got to have some basic training. You've got to learn the basic truths of the Bible. And you've got to pray to ask God to give you some integrity in your life. Now, the only implement that a Roman soldier had that was offensive was his sword. And the Bible says in these verses that we're studying that we are to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is actually the Word of God. And man, I can't wait till we get to that message, because there is some powerful truth there. Now, this sword that was carried in those days was actually a short sword. It wasn't like one of these big Conan the Barbarian looking things. The Romans, they carried short swords, and hey, they were used to inflict heavy injury and even death upon the enemy. Now, remember where I said this sword was carried? On the belt, right? Everything works off that foundation of truth. The sword was carried on the soldier's belt, and in the same way, the sword of the Spirit hangs from the belt of truth that we're to put on. The thing that we need to remember is that it's the truth of God's Word that transforms us. It's the truth of God's Word that makes us holy and changes us from the inside out. And that's exactly what Jesus was praying for when he was praying for you and praying for me in John 17:17. What did Jesus say? He said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You can't go into battle without the truth, or you're going to lose every single time. Take the truth from the Word of God and live it out. Now, as we close today, I don't know what all of your issues are. I don't know what all of you folks are struggling with. Now, it might be fear or anxiety or worry. It could be guilt. It could be anger. It could be jealousy. Hey, man, whatever issue you got, I can promise you this. There are numerous Bible passages that deal with your issue. I would encourage you to search out the Scriptures. Find those verses that deal with your issue. Commit them to memory. Store them in your mind. Store them in your heart. Then when the enemy comes around prowling to attack you, you'll be able to do exactly what Jesus did. You'll be able to hit the old devil with the truth. You'll be able to say, hey, I see the temptation, but it is written. And then you can respond with the verse that defeats that temptation. And if you do that enough times, you may discover something that you never thought of before. It is by the power of the truth of the Word of God that you can be victorious in your Christian life. And friend, all of that begins as we put on the belt of truth. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for the truth of your Word. We thank you, Lord, that by your grace and by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can live out that truth in our own lives as we do battle with our enemy. We thank you, Lord, that the devil is no match for you. We thank you that we can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that if we get up and carefully put on the full armor of God every day, we can walk onto that battlefield where spiritual warfare is taking place, and we can walk off of it victorious. I pray for each and every family that is represented here today. I pray for their needs, their troubles, their trials, Lord. Show yourself faithful to them. Reveal your truth to them and help them to live it out. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. God bless you, folks. Would you please bow for the benediction? Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.